Okay, let's turn in our booklets to that green tab. You see that tab, morning session one. The green tab, morning session number one. And in this line of fellowship, right, we will speak from this morning through Friday morning on this line called experiencing the two aspects of the Spirit, okay? Experiencing two aspects of the Spirit, morning session number one. It's page 15 in your booklet, okay? Before we begin, let me just mention just briefly the line that we will take from this morning through Friday morning. This morning we will talk about the two aspects of the Spirit, essential and economical. Of course, these two phrases may not be that familiar to some of you, but surely you can pick it up quickly, right? Essential and economical, two aspects of the one Spirit. Then tomorrow morning, we'll talk about the Spirit of life, the divine life, right? The Spirit of life as breath and water, okay? Wednesday morning, we'll touch the Spirit of power, okay? That's the economical Spirit, the Spirit of power as wind, fire, and clothing. Okay, then Thursday morning we'll touch seeking the infilling and outpouring of the Spirit, right? The two aspects, infilling and outpouring of the Spirit. Then on Friday morning, we will conclude with a life, right? A total Christian life, a life what? Full of the Holy Spirit, right? A life. This is the kind of life that we want to live, a life full of the Holy Spirit. And that will be our morning line in morning session number one. Okay. You know, praise the Lord. We sang that song. Oh, He's what? He's the wonderful Spirit, what? In us. Hallelujah. But we can also sing it, can we? Oh, He's the wonderful Spirit on us. No? It's just in us. The wonderful Spirit in us, right? Is He the wonderful Spirit on us?
Yes.
And in us?
Yes.
Okay, I can go home. You have the burden. Right? If you get these two, you know, phrases from that hymn, you've got the message. He's the wonderful Spirit where? In us. And also, He's what? He's the wonderful Spirit where? On us. Hallelujah. He's what? He's in us. And also, He's what? He's on us. He's in us for life, to live the divine life, to live the Christian life. And He is also upon us as what? As the power, right? To enable us to do so many things, okay? So that song, right, I like to change it, right? Oh, He's the wonderful Spirit on us. Okay, let's sing it. Let's sing the chorus in two ways, right? He's the wonderful Spirit in us. And then we'll sing it, He's the wonderful Spirit on us. Okay, brothers, in us. Go. Oh, He's the wonderful Spirit in us. He's the wonderful Spirit in us. God is in the Son, the Spirit now. He's the wonderful Spirit in us. Okay, sisters, go. On us. So with the brothers, He's only in the brothers, right? But He's on the sisters, right? No, He's in the brothers. And He's on the brothers. He's also in the sisters. And He's on the sisters. Hallelujah, He's in us. Hallelujah, He's on us. Oh Lord Jesus, inside. Oh Lord Jesus, outside. Oh Lord Jesus, inside. Oh Lord Jesus, outside. Hallelujah. Okay. Page 15. Roman numeral 1. Okay, you have the scripture reading, right? Notice, as our brother Stephen Yowell mentioned to us last night, we are not talking about the Holy Spirit and the human spirit, even though, although that's very important. We won't talk about that in this, right, in these morning lines. Not the Holy Spirit and mingled with our human spirit. No, we will only talk about the divine spirit, the Holy Spirit, the two aspects of the Spirit. The essential aspect inwardly for life, the economical aspect economically for power, for service, for work, for preaching, for ministry, for move. Okay? We have to know both. We must experience both to be a proper, normal, overcoming Christian. A proper, normal, overcoming age-turner. Knows the Spirit within. And also experiences the Spirit without as power. Okay, we will see that, okay? So, the two aspects of the Spirit, essential and economical. Then you have the scripture reading, right, from John 7, right? The Spirit, right? The totality of the Spirit through all of the processes of the triune God reaching us and so on. So in all these verses, some are referring to the essential side within. Others refer to the economical side without. Praise the Lord, we have both. Okay. Roman number 1, progressive. The progressive revelation of the Spirit. Remember, the divine Spirit, the Spirit of God, okay? There is a progressive revelation in the Scriptures all the way from the Old Testament through the New Testament and to the very end of the book of Revelation, chapter 22 and verse 17. The progressive revelation of the Spirit in the Scriptures, that's important. Okay, brothers, 1A, read A. Okay, there is a progressive revelation. The Spirit of God is revealed progressively from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. There in Genesis chapter 1, you have the Spirit of God. Okay? Genesis chapter 1, 2. The Spirit of God. God there is Elohim, the Almighty, powerful Creator. This is Jehovah Elohim, the Spirit. The entire triune God is unveiled in the first two or three verses of the divine revelation, right? In the beginning, God created. That's the Father, right? Then the Spirit is there, brooding, hovering like a helicopter over the damaged earth, ready and waiting to bring life into the damaged universe. And then it says, right, and God said. So you have God the Father, the Creator. You have the Spirit of God for God's move. And then you have God the Son. Where's God the Son? That's right. And God said. When God speaks, He speaks as the Son. So the entire triune God is unveiled in the very early chapters of the divine revelation. But we will emphasize the Spirit of God, okay? So you have the Spirit of God in Genesis. Then you have the Spirit of Jehovah later on in the Old Testament that rushed, right? It says, rushed upon some of the godly people for them to do many outward things, miracles, and so on. That's the Spirit of Jehovah from Judges 3 and 1 Samuel 10. Then, when you come to the New Testament, the Spirit of God is unveiled in another way. He's now the Holy Spirit, because now God has to become involved with humanity. God is unique. He's holy. He's separate from every person in the universe. Now he's going to become involved with something common, not so holy, natural. So he is the Holy Spirit, okay, involving the incarnation of the triune God into the man Jesus. That takes the Holy Spirit. So if you look in Luke 1:35 also, there in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 20, right? Matthew 1, right? That which is conceived in her is of what? The Holy Spirit. So the Lord Jesus, he received the divine essence, the divine nature from the Spirit of God, bringing divinity into humanity. The Lord received his humanity from Mary and the divinity from the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's important, okay? So the progression, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jehovah, and the Holy Spirit. Eventually, when we reach Revelation 22:17, you have a unique title, the Spirit. What kind of Spirit? The. The Spirit. And the bride, what? They speak together. They say, come, right? So you have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jehovah, the Holy Spirit, and eventually the Spirit, the all-inclusive, compound, life-giving, sevenfold intensified Spirit, eventually is known, right, revealed as the Spirit. Very simple. Hallelujah for the Spirit. Amen. Do you enjoy the Spirit?
Amen.
I hope so. Okay? So B tells us ultimately, right? Ultimately, the Spirit of God is what? The Spirit. The totality, right, of all the elements of the titles of the Spirit of God, the Spirit is what? Is process. That means he went through a process. Compound. That means there's a number of items involved, a number of ingredients that he picked up along the way. All-inclusive, God, man, right? Divinity, humanity, creator, creature, attributes, virtues, everything is there in the all-inclusive Spirit, okay? Life-giving, the last Adam became what? The life-giving Spirit. That's another function of the Spirit, to give us the divine life. Okay, indwelling. Hallelujah, he's not just visiting. He's not the visiting Spirit. You like him to visit you or dwell in you? Very good. He's the indwelling one. That means he's there forever. He will never leave. He just doesn't visit us once in a while. He's indwelling us. The indwelling Spirit. Okay? Sevenfold intensified. The darker this age becomes, the more intensified is the Spirit of God. Intensified life-giving, intensified renewing, right? Intensified sanctifying, intensified transforming, intensified conforming, and what? Intensified glorifying. That's the work of the sevenfold intensified Spirit in Revelation chapter 1, okay? Then he's consummated. That means all the processes have been completed. He can't become anything else. When the processes are fully completed, we use the word consummated. He is the consummated Spirit, right? He is the ultimate consummation of the process, triune God, what? Reaching. Hallelujah. I like this. Reaching. One day when we opened up to the Lord, what? This consummated triune God reached us, came into our spirit. He's the reaching triune God. Right? Reaching his chosen people. Then see, whatever this triune God planned, what he planned in eternity, what he accomplished in time, he applies to us, right, that Spirit, right? It's all wrapped up in the compound Spirit. Okay, going on, because we have to make our way eventually to Roman numeral 4, which is more the burden of this particular message. Okay, Roman 2. Sisters, read Roman 2. Okay, notice the word reveal. It doesn't say teach, the scriptures teach. No, it says the scriptures reveal. It's revelation. It's unveiling that we must have to see the two aspects of the Spirit of God. The work, two aspects of the work of the Holy Spirit. But that includes both the essential side and the economical side. The inward aspect for life, that means to receive the divine life, to live by the divine life, to grow in the divine life, to mature in the divine life. We have the essential spirit there of life for the divine life aspect. And also what? The outward aspect. It's not two spirits. It's the same one spirit in two aspects, two functions. Number one, that we can live the Christian life. Number two, that we can work and serve and minister and preach and move to carry out God's eternal economy. To carry out that economy, you need more than the essential divine life to live by. We need the economical spirit of power, and we will see that. So in the verses, John 14, right, that's the essential aspect, the spirit of reality that the Lord promised that would come, right? Then in John 20, right, when the Lord was resurrected, right, he came to them in the evening of the resurrection, right, and said, receive, not the spirit of power. He didn't say that. We need the spirit of life first for our Christian existence. He breathed into them and said to them, receive the holy breath or the holy pneuma to give them the divine life, to give them the spirit of life. Now they are the genuine believers, the sons of God, right? They're the regenerated children of God with the spirit of life within them. Okay, John 20. Then if the other two verses here, Luke 24, that's the spirit of power that would come upon them in order for them to carry out the work of God on the earth, right, as the organic body of Christ. And Acts 1:5, you shall be my witnesses, my martyrs, right? To propagate this incarnated, crucified, resurrected, and ascended Christ over the whole earth, right? Beginning from Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and then what? To the uttermost part of the earth. To carry out that commission, you must experience the economical spirit of power, not only the essential spirit of life. Okay, you got that? Okay. A tells us, right, essential refers to the existence, to give us spiritual existence, or we don't even have the divine life. How can we live by the divine life if we have never received the divine life? Okay? That's our very being, to give us our spiritual being and existence, our spiritual essence. Like, you know, if you know Latin, right? Sum esse fui futurum. Right? Sum, I am. Essence, esse, to be. That's the spirit of essence. We can also say, you can use the term the spirit of essence and the spirit of economy. You may also say that. So this essential aspect is the life for existence. Then economical refers to what? Work, function, right? And power to give us the way, to empower us, to embolden us, to give us the authority to preach, to minister, to bring people to Christ, to travel, to work, to serve, to minister Christ. We need that aspect of the Spirit more than just the essential aspect for life, okay? So, B, the inward filling Spirit, right? That's the essential Spirit, is what? It's in the disciples, right? He's a wonderful Spirit in us. He's in the disciples, John 14, 17. Romans 8, 11, Christ is in us. He's in us as the essential aspect, right? Whereas the outward filling Spirit, the economical Spirit, is what? Is upon them. Then you have Acts 1:8 and Acts 2:17, right? On the day of Pentecost. Okay, let's go on to Romans 3. We'll look at the two aspects. One is the promise, one is the fulfillment. Every promise has its fulfillment. The Lord never promised something and doesn't come through. No, He's not like that. Whatever He promises, He will fulfill. Okay, brothers, how about reading 3A1? Go. Read 2-3. Okay, two different promises, right? A1, the Lord promised the Comforter. Another Comforter would come, right? He was their Comforter for 3.5 years. He talked about another Comforter coming, but the same person, only having passed through death and resurrection. Entering into resurrection. Now He is within them. He was outside of them as their first Comforter. Now He's within us as another Comforter. That's the essential Spirit of life. That was promised before the Lord's death, John 14 and 16. Then the Father, He promised what? The power. You see, the Son promised the Spirit, the Comforter, the essential aspect that we would get the life. The Father, right, promised the power way back at the time of Joel, about 8 centuries before Christ, about 800 B.C. Through the prophet Joel, God, Jehovah, promised the economical Spirit of power would come. But it took 8 centuries for that Spirit of power to come. But praise the Lord for the fulfillment. Okay, look at 3B. Sisters, read 3B. Okay, the Lord, before His, right, crucifixion and resurrection, He what? He promised another Comforter, right? When was that promise fulfilled? 8 centuries later? No, 72 hours. The Lord said He would come back. Not after 2,000 years. We would come back after what? After about 3 days. 72 hours. After He promised another Comforter, He came back to them as the Spirit of life in resurrection and breathed the essential Spirit of life into them. Not a small thing. Now, they have the same divine life as the Lord does. The Lord has the divine life. He's the God-man, right? He has divinity and humanity, right? But we only have what? We don't have anything. We have a fallen humanity and no divinity. But in the Lord's resurrection, right, in the evening of His resurrection, the Lord came back as the pneumatic Christ, right? and breathe into them the spirit of life. Now they have the divine life. The Lord has the divine life, and now we have the divine life. Hallelujah! We have the divine life. That's not a small thing. So, that fulfilled the Lord's promise before His death and fulfilled it in His resurrection. But when was the Spirit of power fulfilled? That was fulfilled, right, 50 days later, right? After the Lord resurrected, He spent 40 days training those disciples how to live, how to move, right? How to exercise and know this Christ again in an invisible way. They had His visible presence for 3.5 years. Now He resurrected. He was transfigured, right? From something opaque to something transparent. He is the Spirit of essence. Now He can enter into us as the Spirit of life. Then, after 40 days spending time with them, right, He ascended. Then 10 days later, on the 50th day, He came down upon them. The Spirit of power comes upon us. It can come, it can go. It can come, it can go. Okay? That's the Spirit of power, the Spirit of economy. We don't have that yet. At that time, they only had the Spirit of light within them, breathed into them. But to carry out God's work, God's eternal economy on this earth, to have the body of Christ, to spread this body of Christ, to propagate it over the whole earth, we need the Spirit of power. Look at the Lord Jesus. In His conception and birth, right, He was conceived and begotten of the Holy Spirit and born a God-man with two natures, two essences, divinity and humanity. Then, right, at the age of 30, the Spirit of power came upon Him. He had the Spirit of essence in his being begotten and His birth. But at the age of 30, the Spirit of power came upon Him, like Matthew 3. Now, for 3.5 years, He has the power. He has the authority. He can heal the sick, cast out the demons, right? He can cleanse lepers. He can still the waves and the wind. He can do miracles. He can heal the sick. He can raise the dead. How can He do this? Because He has the Spirit of power upon Him, authorizing Him to carry out mainly God's work of redemption in His earthly ministry. Now He has the Spirit within. He has the Spirit of power upon Him. He is fully clothed without, and He fully has the essence of life within. When we are regenerated, right, we receive both. And we'll see this. Okay. Now, I'm in Roman numeral 4. Let's all read Roman numeral 4. Okay, again. Are you a believer in Christ?
Amen.
All the brother believers, say amen.
Amen.
What about the sisters? Sisters, are you believers in Christ?
Amen.
Very good. Okay, we're all clear. We're believers in Christ. We should what? We should experience. Notice the word should. We should experience both. What? The essential Spirit and the economical Spirit. One for life, one for power. So you have here in Acts, right? I should say Ephesians 5:18. Be filled in Spirit. Then you have all these verses, right? You have Acts 2:4, right? That filling, right? is the Greek word pletho, right? The Greek word there for filling, you have pleru, the inward filling, pletho, the outward filling. One is Greek, pleru, P-L-E-R-O-O. That's the inward filling of the Spirit. We need that. Lord, fill me. We should pray every day, Lord, fill me. Fill me now. Fill me right now. We need the inward filling for life, pleru. We also need the outward filling of power, pletho, P-L-E-T-H-O. There are two different Greek words for the word fill. One is the inward filling, like you fill a bathtub full of water. That's the pleru, inward filling. The other is pletho, the outward filling. When you step into the tub and you are immersed by the water, you are being outwardly filled. Okay? One is the inward filling for life. One is the outward filling for power. On the day of resurrection, okay, the Lord, right, breathed. We went over this. The essential Spirit as life into His disciples. Then after, what, 50 days, Pentecost, right, He poured out the economical Spirit of power upon them. Okay? Because remember, they only have the essential aspect by the in-breathing of the resurrected Christ. They don't have the power yet. They don't have the authority. They don't have the way to propagate this resurrected Christ, to spread Him all over Jerusalem, Samaria, right, Judea, and to what? The uttermost, or to the remotest parts of the earth. This needs power. Saints, we have both. Hallelujah, we have both. Okay. Look at 4b. We are joined to God the Spirit by receiving Him, what? Essentially, for us to what? To live Christ. We've received that kind of Spirit. John 20 and Galatians 3. Galatians 3, Paul writes to the Galatian believers, right? In chapters 1 and 2 of Galatians, he talks about Christ, right? It pleased God to what? To reveal His Son, where? In me. Right? His Son, in me. Chapter 2, right? Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, no longer I that live, but what? It is Christ who lives in me. You have the Son of God in Galatians 1. You have Christ in you in Galatians 2. But what does Paul say in Galatians chapter 3? Galatians, what about this? Did you receive the Spirit by the works of law or by the hearing of faith? Notice, Paul switches from Christ in 1 and 2, the Son of God, to the Spirit. He didn't say, Galatians, did you receive Christ by the hearing, by law, by the works of law? He didn't say that. He didn't say, Galatians, did you receive the Son of God by the works of law? He didn't say that. He said, what? Did you receive the Spirit? When you say, Lord Jesus, who comes? The Spirit comes. The name is Jesus, Lord Jesus. The person is the Spirit. So Paul here is talking about the experience of Christ. When you subjectively experience the Son of God, and you subjectively experience Christ, who is He? The Spirit. He is just the Spirit. Did you receive the Spirit? And then in the following verses, He who bountifully supplies to you the Spirit. Don't think we just received the Spirit once, the day that you were born again and regenerated. So easy for us to say, hallelujah, I received the Spirit. I got saved. I got regenerated. I'm born again. Hallelujah. I received the Spirit. Then now I'm okay for the rest of my life, right? Did you eat this morning? Did you drink this morning? So you don't need to eat or drink the rest of the day, right? It's the same with the Spirit. We receive the Spirit. We must receive Him continually, continuously. Lord Jesus, You are the Spirit for our spiritual existence, our growth, our development, our maturity, the Spirit, right? So, we are joined to God. That's how we are joined to God, the Spirit. How? By receiving Him essentially. For us to what? To live Christ. So one tells us, we have received the Spirit of reality, right? John 14. And the Spirit of life. Just different aspects of the essential side. A tells us, it is by the hearing of faith that we receive the Spirit. Someone told you about Christ. They told you about the Son of God. How much He cares. He loves us. What He did, redeeming us. The more we heard, He said, yes, I want it. So, what did you do? You called on the name of the Lord. Lord Jesus, what did you get? You got the Spirit. They told you about the Son of God. They told you about Christ. And when you received Christ, who came into you? The Spirit. Hallelujah. You got the essential Spirit. Okay. It is by the hearing of faith that we receive the Spirit so that we might what? Participate in God's promised blessing. That's Galatians 3:14. We might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing, the promise went to Abraham, the seed and the land. We got connected. We got affiliated. We got joined to this promised one. So we inherit all the blessings of Abraham. We are sons of Abraham. So what Abraham received, we receive. Hallelujah. The Spirit. The essential aspect of the Spirit enabling us to live Christ. Okay. Then B tells us, when we believed into Christ, we received what? The Spirit. Right? So that we might participate, right, in God's promised blessing and live Christ. Okay, B, when we believed into Christ, we received the Spirit. Now, God is supplying the Spirit. This morning, He's supplying to you what? The Spirit. In every way, right? Continuously. And by faith, we should receive the Spirit constantly, calling on the Lord and inhaling the Spirit. Right, Galatians 3, Romans 10, and John 20:22. What do? Exercise. Exercise the Spirit, our spirit. Now, that's the human spirit there. Exercise our spirit, right, by rejoicing always. Always rejoice, unceasingly pray. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Go, sisters, your turn. Always rejoice. Brothers, unceasingly pray, in everything give thanks. Okay, point C, we are joined to God. Okay, notice point B and C. B tells us, we're joined to God the Spirit by receiving Him essentially. Point C. We are joined to God the Spirit. Almost identical, right? We are joined to God the Spirit by what? By being baptized. Right? Into Him, what? Economically. Okay? For us to carry out Christ's commission. Look at the situation. The Lord, right, He's there. He has the essential divine nature and life from conception and birth. He receives the Spirit of power upon him 30 years later for his earthly ministry of 3.5 years. He becomes the all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit through resurrection. Then he breathes that essential Spirit into them on the day of resurrection in the evening, and we were all there. You may say, how could I be there? Those disciples represent every believer who will be saved throughout human history. We're all there. They represent us. That means we all receive the essential Spirit of life in the Lord's resurrection. Peter tells us that. We were regenerated in His resurrection. But what about the Spirit of power? We need also the Spirit of power. So, 50 days, right? 10 days after the 40 days He spent with them, the Spirit of power descended upon the Jewish believers on the day of Pentecost, putting them into Christ, into the death of Christ, into the triune God, and into the body of Christ. This transpired on every one of us. If you have a Jewish background, you're a Jewish believer, you were baptized in the Spirit of power on the day of Pentecost. If you are a Gentile like me, most of us are Gentiles, we receive the Spirit of essence, right, in resurrection, and we receive the Spirit of power right at the house right there with Cornelius in Caesarea when the Spirit descended upon them. In the early producing of the church, it took place in two places. Jerusalem for the Jewish believers and in Caesarea for the Gentile believers. So Paul could say in 1 Corinthians 12, in one Spirit, in one Spirit, in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body and were positioned. Now we're positioned to drink one Spirit. We receive both. But probably we don't realize that when you were born again, you got both aspects. Right? You probably thought, oh, I have to do something special to get the baptism in the Holy Spirit. No, you haven't. When you were regenerated, you received both aspects. The Spirit of essence to give you the life to live Christ. And you also received the Spirit of power economically upon you to enable you to what? To tell your roommate about Christ. How do you have that power? How do you have that boldness? How do you have that authority to tell your roommate, listen up, and you tell them about Christ, or you tell this person in your class about Christ? Where do you get the power, the authority? That's the economical Spirit of power that you have. You only have to claim it. Saints, claim it. You have it. Don't wait. Well, at a certain time, maybe after I'm fully matured, I'll have power to preach the gospel. No. That's why, as soon as you received Christ, maybe a number of you went home, right? Or you went to your roommate. You went to your classmate. You went home. You went to your relatives. Mommy, Daddy, I received Christ. You went to your relative, all kinds of people, and you told them about Christ. He's real. I just said, Lord Jesus, and I was born again. I was saved. I don't know that much, but at least I know I got saved. Something happened to me. How do you get the power to do that? You think you can do that just with the divine life? No, you need the divine power. You need the boldness, saints. You need to be empowered, emboldened to speak. We should not be afraid to tell our friends, classmates, roommates, parents, relatives, our boss about this wonderful Christ that they also can receive. But for that, you need to claim this spirit of power that is upon you. Right? We have the spirit of life within us to live Christ. We have the spirit of power upon us. We must see this. These are the two aspects of the spirit. Right? Look at point C. Right? I'm in 1B. If we are willing, saints, are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing to be an overcomer? Are you willing to be an age turner? Are you willing to bring Christ back? What do you have to do that? You have the spirit of essence and the spirit of power. Say, we have all we need. Don't say, oh, I'm a weak sister, I don't have much, I was just born again. No, sisters, you say, I have the spirit of power. Sisters, what do you have? Very good. Only the spirit of life? We have the spirit of power. Brothers, do you have only the spirit of life? What do you have?
Spirit of power.
Hallelujah. You need to experience both aspects of the spirit. So, B says, if we are willing, Lord, make me willing. Make me willing to receive a burden. Not just a burden to receive Christ. Not just a burden to live Christ. But a burden, saints, to propagate Christ. Look at the United States. 320 million people. And we have the riches. We have the essential spirit within. We have the economical spirit upon us as our power. There are what? 325 or so campuses represented here. There are probably what, Ken? 3,000, 4,000 universities, schools in the United States. What about the other six? What about the other 3,000 some schools? Don't they need the spirit of essence? Don't they need the spirit of power? Who's going to do that? You are. You need a burden for this. We need the willingness, saints, to pick up a burden, to receive a burden to spread the Lord's recovery, to spread what we have. Takes the spirit of power, okay, to spread that Lord's recovery, to spread the Lord's propagation. As His what? Martyrs and witnesses, we will surely experience the economical spirit poured out upon us so that we can what? Testify for our Lord. Okay, everyone, point two. Let's read two. Amen. Do you realize that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, right, has already been accomplished? You were there. If you were a Gentile believer, you were there with Cornelius and Peter in Caesarea. If you are a Jewish believer, you were there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. In one spirit, we were all baptized. So now, when you say, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. We have both. When you say, Lord Jesus, you get the spirit of life. You get the spirit of power. You get both aspects of the work of the Spirit enabling you to serve, to function, right? To travel, to speak, to minister, to propagate, to spread All of this comes from the Spirit of power, which we have. All you have to do is, Lord, I claim it. Lord, I claim it. It's on the body. Where is it? It's on the body. Are you in the body? Are you one with the body? Do you have a right relationship with the body? As long as you are in the body, one with the body, you have a right relationship with the body. The Spirit of power is yours. Just claim it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I have you as the Spirit within. I have you as the Spirit without. Hallelujah. We need to realize this. So, the focus. We have a focus at the end of the message. We need to see, right? See that the work of the all-inclusive Spirit that we have received is what? In two aspects. Essential for life and economical for power. As believers, we should what? Experience both. Los dos. Experience los dos. Both the essential Spirit for us to live Christ. Is that all? No. The economical Spirit for us to carry out Christ's commission to disciple all the nations, not just the United States, but Europe, South America, all the seven continents. We have the Spirit of essence, saints. We have the Spirit of power for us to make disciples of every nation on this earth. Are you for this? Hallelujah! Oh, He's the wonderful Spirit in us. He's the wonderful Spirit in us. God is in the Son's the Spirit now. He's a wonderful Spirit in us. Los dos. Oh, He's a wonderful Spirit on us. He's a wonderful Spirit on us. God is in the Son's a Spirit now. He's a wonderful Spirit on us. Hallelujah! He's a wonderful Spirit in us. And He's the wonderful Spirit on us. Okay.